The Olympic flame will be extinguished tonight, ending the Winter Games in Salt Lake City. The Olympics were held under the tightest security ever, in a host city trying to get past a bribery scandal and stereotypes about Mormons. But those issues faded into the background as soon as events got underway. Many fans got their first glimpse of some unfamiliar events, a super-fast sledding race called Skeleton, and a more leisurely game called Curling. New stars emerged. Olympic politics came out of hibernation. And, of course, there was figure skating, with memorable performances on the ice and at the judging table. We're joined by NPR's team in Salt Lake City, Tom Goldman, Elizabeth Arnold, and Howard Berkus. And let's begin with you, Tom. The last day of the Olympic competitions actually has a somewhat sad note. Two athletes stripped of their medals after testing positive for performance-enhancing drugs. So tell us more about that.
Yeah, these games certainly are ending with a bang as far as the drug fight goes. After actually another wishy-washy approach to drugs throughout the games, there's a very certain decision on this final day. Three prominent cross-country skiers, Johan Mulig of Spain, Russians Olga Danilova and Larissa Lazutina, medal winners, heroes in their countries, kicked out of the games, ordered to return the medals in the events in which they tested positive. So a very strong statement. You can see that on this final day of the Olympics that the IOC definitely wanted to take a strong stand.
Well, the last big event of the Olympics was the gold medal men's hockey game between the U.S. and Canada. For those who haven't heard yet, tell us what happened.
Well, Lisa, I can't resist the moment, okay? I got lots of angry email messages when I called hockey Canada's national sport, and people told me it was lacrosse. Well, folks, I sincerely doubt lacrosse is giving Canada as much a feeling of pride as hockey is today. The men won the gold, just as the Canadian women won the gold on Thursday. Today's game was a close, well-played game for the first two periods. A lot of hard checking. It was fast-paced. Lots of shots on goals. Canada was leading 3-2 in the third period. There was a series of shots that the Canadian goalie repelled, and then Canadians came back and scored, made it 4-2, ended up being 5-2. Wayne Gretzky, who is a hockey legend and who has had an executive position with the national team, he was ecstatic. This was a huge win for Canada. There were tremendous expectations that they fulfilled, because this is the first men's hockey gold medal in 50 years for Canada.
Well, Elizabeth, it is considered gauche to talk about Olympic medal counts for individual nations, but of course, it's done anyway. The U.S. did pretty well. Why don't you just give us a recap about the medals the Americans won and how they did it?
Well, you're right. Medal counting is frowned upon as an Olympic sport, but everybody does it. So for those of you who are counting, the Americans will have accrued 34 by tonight's closing ceremony. And that number doesn't mean much by itself, but compared to this country's previous best effort in the Winter Games, 13, that's a big change. It's due in part to some new events, but also to some surprise performances in bobsled, long track speed skating. While the U.S. skiers didn't do so well on the traditional slopes of the downhill and out on the flats at the cross-country venue, the team did do well in the less traditional events. Aerials, moguls, got a medal sweep in the men's snowboarding halfpipe. We're second only to Germany in the medals race. The U.S. Far surpassed the goal held out by the U.S. Olympic Committee of 20 medals, and it's hoped that every one of those medals will inspire more athletes here to try winter sports.
Oh, Howard Berkus, the Russians met with a bit of dismay by the end of the Olympics, didn't seem to be enjoying themselves quite as much. What happened?
No, and I'm sure it's worse now that another medal has been taken from the Russians, as they would see it. They were going into tonight's closing ceremony with 16 medals. Now it's 15 because of this recent drug flap. That's the poorest medal count for Russia since it's been competing as Russia in the Olympics, which began in the Winter Olympics, at least, which began in 1994 in Lillehammer. The Russian athletes won 23 medals then. And, you know, the dissatisfaction started really almost at the very beginning of these games, when the Russians were forced to share that gold medal with the Canadian pairs figure skating team after some apparent irregularities in the judging. They didn't say that much about that then, but when their cross-country skiing champion Larissa Lazutina was bounced from an event the other day because of a possible showing of an elevated count of hemoglobin in her blood, a possible that she had been doping, the Russian team went ballistic. And we even had the Kremlin joining in. Vladimir Putin, the president of Russia, accused judges here of being biased against Russians and biased toward North Americans. There was a threat the other day to pull out of the games, to boycott the next Olympics in Athens in 2 years. It seemed that cooler heads prevailed, at least as of this morning. And there have been some trading, some sort of tit-for-tats between Russian and American Olympic officials over this whole thing. In the end, I'm sure the Russians are still unhappy, very unhappy, and perhaps they're looking for scapegoats for what is a relatively poor performance for their teams that they may be having to justify at home.
Well, Irina Slutskaya, the Russian figure skater who finished just behind Sarah Hughes, the American who took the gold. Irina Slutskaya was a contender for gold, wasn't she, Tom?
Yes, she was, absolutely. And the woman who people thought, the young lady, I should say, 16-year-old Sarah Hughes, who people thought really wasn't a contender after the short program, ended up winning. It was a real stunner. She, as Hughes herself said, going from fourth to first wasn't mathematically impossible, but it just required everything falling into place, and it did. She skated beautifully. The three skaters in front of her, her teammates Sasha Cohen and Michelle Kwan, and the Russian Slutskaya, all made mistakes. And, you know, a lot of people felt bad for Michelle Kwan, who just missed out on a gold for the second straight Olympics. But the sad fact is she didn't skate well enough to win.
Well, what about judging impartiality in general? I mean, a lot of people are talking about this. One of the French judges said she was pressured to vote in a certain way in the pairs skating competition.
Yeah, that's right. And that continues to be a confusing story because she said that originally. Now she has recanted her story that she said she wasn't pressured. She actually voted for the Russian pair, Berezhnaya and Sikhirolidze, who won the gold medal. And yet again she's changed it, saying Canadian officials pressured her. So that's still up in the air. And the disconcerting thing about that is her initial the allegations against her triggered everything here in Salt Lake City, triggered giving a medal to Saleh and Peltier, the Canadians, triggered all the protests about judging, triggered the Russians' anger that Howard talked about. So if her story is still not clear, we don't know where this is going to go. There's a hearing in April where they're going to try and collect all the facts and make a decision. But, of course, that won't be under the white-hot glare of the Olympics.
Well, very briefly, the three of you, what's it been like to cover the Olympics? What will you remember?
Well, I think, this is Howard, what I'll remember most, I think, is the fact that for many of the athletes and for some that I spoke with today from the U.S. team, all this concern about doping and judging doesn't ruin their Olympic experience. They say that these kinds of things are sort of expected. There isn't much they can do about them except do their best performance. They've had a great time here, especially with the medal count for Americans. I think the other thing quickly is that we didn't have a terrorist attack. There weren't massive traffic jams. Nobody's been talking about the bribery scandal or how boring Salt Lake City is. People have had a good time. So
it's exciting, Howard.
It's been a good Olympics for a lot of people.
I'd say I think Howard pretty much covered it.
I'm sorry.
But I would say for me personally, smiling Yanitsa Kostelic, a 20-year-old Croatian who's the first alpine skier, male or female, ever to win four medals in a single games, a difficult feat by itself, let alone after three knee operations.
Mm. Well, we can't forget. Oh, sorry, Elizabeth, I know you went head first down the skeleton. That has to be memorable.
Downhill course.
Tom?
I would say just that I'm frustrated because I had to cover so many of these darn news stories. There were so many of those here and didn't get enough time dealing with the really neat part of the Olympics, which are the athletes that Howard and Elizabeth have talked about. I'm hoping and I assume that most people out there who enjoyed the Olympics and came here to Salt Lake City really did get to see it and enjoy it and didn't have to worry about all these scandals and such.
Okay, NPR's Tom Goldman, Elizabeth Arnold, and Howard Berkus at the end of the Olympic Games in Salt Lake City. Thank you all.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot.